Well, it's glad to gather with you all today and worship with you and praise our Lord. Today we're reading in Proverbs, and so be thou my vision is as great as we God's word, right? His words are important. They are what satisfies us. They are what keeps us as we walk in this life. And so, as that says, the grass may wither and the flowers will fall, but God's word will remain forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from John 10, 22 through 30. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Proverbs. It's a long one, so just bear with it. So we're in Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom; from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. From men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to paths of righteousness. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those who with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. So I thought we were going to continue in Romans, and then last week, as I was in my own daily reading, not really taking Monday off, just to kind of get into some devotions, and part of this Bible reading plan, which is called the Mech Cheyenne Bible reading plan. You read four chapters, two from the Old Testament, two from the New, one gospel, one epistle. You get one from the Torah, and then you get another one. So I happen to be in Proverbs 2. I missed Proverbs 1, and I was in Proverbs 2 this time, and I was reading through it, and I wasn't in the ESV. I was in the New American Standard Bible. And so I'm just reading through it, and I started just, you know, you start to see things in the wisdom psalms, or just in psalms like this, you can kind of start to see patterns, and you can start to see things that connect, because it's poetry, and one thing relates to the other. And then you start going further on, and I started writing down, wow, this is going to be a sermon. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to preach the entire Psalms chapter 2. And I think it's good. It's good because this proverb specifically, written by Solomon to his son, and it's basically, if you can picture this image of a young boy sitting next to his dad or on his lap, and he's like, son, let me teach you. Let me show you how to endure this life and what's important in this life. And the first verse, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for hidden treasures, then you will understand fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. That's the first chunk that I want to talk about. Receiving words. Back then, it's a little bit different than now. They only had, you know, the Torah and maybe a few of the prophets, probably not a lot. All they had was Torah. And they said, if you receive my words, my son, if you receive my words, the way we receive God's word is kind of like this seven-step process of how to walk out this life. There's two things happening later on. We hear about the men who are crooked, they're evil, and they will deceive you. And then you hear about the woman who forsakes the covenant of God. That covenant is referring to refers to the covenant that the Israelites made with God. And it's referring to the woman who is not part of that covenant. It also refers to temptations, right? Another thing about that crooked man is false teachers. People who are Christians, who are believers, who claim to be believers, and yet with their words, they don't seek after righteousness. They're crooked, and they're going to try and deceive you with their words, and words are important. And the way we receive God's words is reading Scripture. The number one important way that you can receive God's word is reading the Bible. Whether you read a chapter a day, whether you read maybe just a few verses, or you want to read a whole book, wherever the Lord's leading you, the way you receive God's words, number one, is reading Scripture. And not just reading it to just read it, right? We don't just read things for head knowledge so we get puffed up. We read things long enough until it starts to take shape in our heart. And maybe some of these chapters are tough, like the Old Testament. It's pretty tough. Like, it's hard to understand. It's a narrative. It's written in a language that is hard to translate. And the New Testament is tough, too. But it's a little bit easier. The Greek to the English is a little bit easier than the Hebrew Aramaic to English. But even so, read it. Find out the patterns that are happening. Everywhere in the Old Testament, it's a foreshadow to Jesus. So no matter where you're at, you can ask yourself a question. How does this relate to Jesus? How does this relate to him on the cross? And this refers to Jesus. How? Jesus is the root of all wisdom. He is wisdom. When we seek after God, when we seek after righteousness, when we seek after him, what happens? Well, good things come, right? Well, not necessarily. There are bad things that still come to Christians. But you have peace. You have understanding. You'll have discernment, what's right and wrong. In the Legacy Standard Bible, because I like to read multiple translations when I'm doing this, when it says understanding, so it says, if you call out, and inclining your heart to understanding. When it says understanding in here, in the LSB, it means discernment. So I'll read this to you in the first verse. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to discernment. Incline my heart to discernment. Discernment means what is right and wrong, essentially. So if I incline my heart to what's right or what's wrong, And if I call out for insight, raise my voice for discernment, if I seek for discernment like silver or search for it as hidden treasures, then I will understand fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord doesn't mean this cowering in fear or terror. It means reverence. I will understand how to revere the Lord. Making my ear attentive to wisdom. Listen. That's the second one. Listen to the Lord. The Lord speaks. Some people believe the Lord can speak to our hearts, and he does. But he also speaks to us through his word. Now, I'm not saying you open up your Bible and go, Lord, show me what to do, and then, the land of whirring winds, wings, and beyond the rivers of Cush. What the heck does that mean? Right? No. Read a chunk. Start with a book like John and read through John. Chunk it out chapter to chapter and just read. How do I discern? Some people think that when I ask the question, they go, well, I don't see God really speaking to me through his word. And I'm like, you're not reading hard enough, or you're not reading long enough. Pray, right? How do we hear the Lord? Well, we pray. Prayer is how we talk to God. God talks back to us through his word. So we talk to God. Prayer isn't for God. Let me just tell you this. God doesn't need our prayers. We need prayers. We need to pray. We need to listen. God doesn't need to listen to us. We need to listen to him. We pray because it helps us in this life. And then it says, inclining your heart to understanding. Inclining my heart refers to meditation. And not meditation like the New Agers say meditation, but meditation on God's words. So how do you gain understanding? How do you gain discernment? Meditate on his words. So that means when you close your Bible for the day, whether it's in the morning or the afternoon, when you close that up, you think about those words, right? You meditate on those words. You start to chew it and eat it. And all of a sudden, when you keep asking God, I don't understand this. Can you please help me understand this? And all of a sudden, when you're driving or when you're working, you go, wow, aha, there it is. There's what it means. And then you take out a piece of paper and you write it down. But it's meditating on his words. It's thinking about it. It's letting your heart being open to God's words and receiving it. And when you call out for insight, again, you're asking. It's calling is like, it's like taking a horn, right? And you're calling out to God for insight. Insight to what? Insight for his words, for his commandments, for wisdom, for understanding. You're asking for it. If you raise your voice for discernment, discernment going, what's right, what's wrong? How do I do this, God? I'm in this situation. I'm in that situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And you just ask. You ask for discernment. You read his word, and you ask for discernment. Seek for it like silver. Silver referring to money or a treasure or something that's precious to us. When we seek it like we would for money, or for the treasures, or for things of this world. We seek for it like that. I imagine there's a lot of us that if we sought for God's word as much as we would for a paycheck, I would imagine we would be rich. Why would we be rich? We'd be rich with God's word. More than we would be rich with money if we sought for it in the same way. Seek for it like hidden treasures. When I think about searching for some, I think about people who like to deer hunt. And when we like to deer hunt, we have all these cool things in order to find a deer that's lost in the woods. You know, we call a buddy to come help us. Let's find this deer, right? So you call your friend, you call your dad, you call your brother. Hey, I need help finding this deer. And so what do? Well, some people get blood lights, or you just follow the blood trail, right? And man, you want to find that deer because it's food. You don't know if it could be a big buck, and you go, wow, this is trophy, and I want to find this thing. I'm going to spend the remainder of my day until I can find this thing. And then when you find it, you go, wow, this is amazing. Look at this. You want to show everybody what you just found. Imagine if we sought for something like that, like we would for God's word. Like, if I come to you, wow, look what I found. Today I'm going, wow, look what I found in God's word. Look what he says to us. Seek for him. Search for him. Meditate on his word. How do we know where to go in this life? What path to take? How to stay on the path of righteousness? And I'm going, look what I have for you. Like the father going to his son, look, son, here's how you live this life. Here's what you do. You search. You seek God. You seek for his commandments. Seek in the scriptures. Ask for understanding. Why? Keep your head on the whys. Why would we do this? You don't have to answer, but I want you to think about, why would we do this? Why do Christians do this? Why is it important for Christians to do this? Why is it important for unbelievers to do this? Then means Solomon said this, then this happens. So there's two thens. And in between there's a then, and then there's also a so. Right? So we have, seek for it like silver, search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Fear of the Lord is the first step to understanding God. It is also how we gain knowledge of God. Fear of the Lord. When we revere the Lord, it's the first step into understanding God. We all want to know God more. How? Fear. What is fear? Revere. When we revere God above all else, then we will understand. We'll start to understand him. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge, understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield. So what is he? He protects you. What does he protect you with? His words, right? These words come into us, and they are a protector. It also says a shield for those walking in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching the way of the saints. Saints refers to believers. He watches our path. He guards our path. He protects our path. With what? His words, his commandments. So how do we shield our path? How do we guard these paths? The Bible. Not only is the Bible a sword, it's also referred to him as the shield of righteousness, the belt of truth, right? The breastplate. You put on the full armor of God, and God will protect you with what? The words that he has spoken to us, that he has written for us to read. He didn't just write this for this to be a book in our shelves that just stays there collecting dust. It's meant to be written. God has revealed himself from Genesis through Revelation. Everything that he wanted to reveal, everything that he could reveal, has been revealed. And now we read it and we understand our Father. It's the same way when I run to my dad for knowledge, when I'm asking him a question, when I want to know something about my dad, or I want to know something about my grandpa, or I want to know more about my parents. What do? I ask them. I sit down with them and I ask questions. It's the same way we want to get to know our Father. Well, if you want to get to know your Father, read his Bible. Read his words. And then there's another then. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant for your soul. So that's the second then. Then you will understand righteousness and justice. Why? Because righteousness and justice has been revealed in his word. When we seek for him, when we seek for it, when we stay on this path, we will understand justice and righteousness. Justice meaning it could be punishment, or justice could mean maybe not necessarily punishment, but we understand how good his justice is. Or we'll understand how good his righteousness is. For wisdom will come into your heart. Does wisdom come from, you know, when we gain wisdom, it's not like this. You're going to all of a sudden read his Bible and all of a sudden, wow, I'm wiser. No. But wisdom comes here. So how, from the Bible to our heart, not to the head, but to the heart. In the same way we meditate and we read his word, and it resonates, when it resonates here, it starts to become head knowledge, and it starts to puff us up. And it's the same thing we've been warned about with theology. When you read a lot of theology or a lot of books can start to puff you up, and you start to forget what these books are supposed to do. These books are supposed to draw you into a deeper relationship with the Lord, a deeper understanding, a deeper worship, a deeper praise. But sometimes scholarly people can become so head knowledge-y that they just forget the whole point of doing theology. Theology is essentially knowledge of God. Well, knowledge of God should draw us into a deeper, the more we gain knowledge and understanding, and the more we know our Father, it should draw us into a deeper praise, a deeper worship, and more of a reverence and say, wow, I really actually don't understand you. That's true for me. Every time I read a theology book, I go, oh, wow, I really don't understand God. And that's okay. We'll never fully understand God in this life. We won't understand till the next life. But the point of it is, it's supposed to resonate in our hearts. Delivering you from the way of evil. So staying on the path of righteousness delivers us from the way of evil. Way, there's lots of ways. There's paths in this. In this text, you'll hear about a way, a path, walking. So could it be referring to physically walking, like I want to walk right now. Is it like that? Not necessarily. It's referring to life. When I walk out this life, when I'm on the way of this life, God's words, his commandments, keeps me on the right path. That's where understanding comes from, is discernment. Being able to go, do I go this way or do I go that way? What do I do, God? It also keeps us from perverted speech. The evil men who speak with a perverted speech. It can refer to blaspheme, right? Where you take the Lord's name in vain, which is the second commandment. Not referring to saying a swear word, right? It's not necessarily what that means. But what it means is when you take his word and you twist it and you make it something else. That's a blaspheme. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And there are people who do that. There are Christians who do that, but there are also unbelievers who do that. Who walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil. As we see in this world, there are many people who rejoice in doing evils. They take pride in it. They take joy in it. And as Christians, we need to discern whether or not this is someone we follow, someone we vote for, someone we promote on Instagram, Twitter, or someone we say, where we warn people. As shepherds, it is our job, as leaders, it's our job to make sure our sheep are not following people like this, warning people, stay away. Stay away from these people who are doing these things. But also for us, because when we read the word, we will know, wow, this person is taking that piece of scripture and they are twisting it and making it what they want it to say. How do we know whether or not that person is taking something in vain? You have to read the word. The only way you can tell someone what you're saying is unbiblical is by reading the Bible and knowing what the Bible says. It takes time. Reading scripture takes time. That's why it's called Bible study. Studying is hard. I'm not saying Bible study is the only way to read God's word. You can read devotionally. You can read just to read. You can put it on your phone and play it in the car. But one of the most crucial ways into knowing God is to sit down, take some time, and just study it. Write things down. Write it out. Pencil things in. Call a pastor. Ask them questions. Talk about what you found. Talk about with someone. If you see a friend that might have a misunderstanding, tell them, ask them, talk about it. But this scripture is referring to people who delight in the perverseness of evil. There are people who delight in the perversions of this world. If we watch the news, if you look at celebrities, there are people who hold celebrities to a high regard. And some of them are some of the evilest people we see. There are some political people who are evil. There are people who are so evil that it makes us go, wow, this world is corrupt. And we need to be able to discern whether or not this is someone we follow, someone we vote for, someone we hold to regard. The only person we should hold to a high regard is Jesus Christ. We don't hold men to high standards. The only high standards we live up to, or the only high standard, is Jesus Christ. And he is the root of all wisdom. So if there's people in this world who want to try and tell you that you shouldn't do this, as a Christian, you don't do this. Or how can you be a Christian and do this? And I will say to them, how can you be a Christian and do this? Especially when God's word says not to do it. You can call me legalistic. That's fine. But there are some people who just delight so much in perversions, who delight in deceiving you, who want to pull you away. And as we get closer and closer and closer to Jesus coming, this world's going to get darker, it's going to get more corrupt, and people and God's word is going to become less, less, and less, and less. And we're at some point, Christians, there's a hill that you're going to have to stand on. No longer can we stand in between something. At some point, you're going to have to take a stand. At some point. And my question to you is, what hill are you going to stand on? Are you going to stand on God's hill, no matter what? Or are you going to stand on Satan's hill? Which path? Which path? As a Christian, we need to know which path. Well, how do we know the right path and the wrong path? Scripture. Why does God do this? So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. This is referring to someone whose words are smooth, they're good, they're enticing. Not necessarily referring to an actual woman, though I'm sure for men, because this is referring to a man, there are women that we should not get in a covenant with, meaning a marriage. This is also referring to a marriage. There are people who are not Christians. We should remain from getting into a covenant relationship with someone who is not in the covenant with God. That's not referring just to a man. It's also referring to a woman. But how do we discern whether or not to do this? Read God's word. Pray. Understand. It's also referring to temptations. Because temptations are smooth. Temptations are deceiving. Temptations look like something's good, because it entices our flesh for us to go and seek it, because it's so good. Our flesh desires it, right? We talked about original sin last week, and sin is so tasty to us, right? It's like a sweet, and we want it because it tastes good. It looks good. It's smooth, right? On the surface, it's smooth, but on the inside, it's hard as steel and dark and crooked. Who forsakes the companion of her youth, forgets the covenant of her God. This is referring again to an Israelite who went away from God's covenant, and we're called to not go into covenant. The Israelites were called not to make a covenant with people of the Canaanites, the Philistines, and other nations that were not Israel. Israel was supposed to be set apart from these different nations. And as we go through the Kings and through the Chronicles and through the Old Testament, they started making covenants with other women, other men that were outside of their covenant. And what did it do? It brought corruption into their city, right? You saw brothels, right? I don't remember what the brothel was way back then, but there were brothels. There were alcohol, right? So much perverseness happening in their city. Why? Because they got into covenants, worshiping other idols, and that seeped in into their community, and they ended up running away and turning away from the way of the Lord, and God brought judgment upon them. And there is a second judgment coming. God's coming back again to judge us, the living and the dead. He will come back. And we need to make sure that we're not, that when we're on this path, we're not on the path of unrighteousness. We're on the path of righteousness. Now we're going to slip up and we're going to make mistakes. But we need to remember whose covenant we are in. Are we in the covenant with Satan, with idols, or with God? We need to make sure we're not befriending people. We can love people from a distance, pray for them, right? You don't have to befriend every single person. You can be a Christian and say, you know what? I respect you. I love you. I just can't hang out with you. I love you, respect you, but we have to break up. I'm a Christian, and I can't do that. Or we need to, as leaders, keep people away from false teachers. Again, this is referring to people, not just unbelievers, but there are Christians. There are Christians who are deceived, vastly deceived. We need to pray for them, but we also need to make ourselves separate from them because we can't do what they're doing. We can't support that ministry. We can't support what they're doing. We can pray for them, love on them from a distance. To be careful, because it's a lot easier for someone to pull you down than for you to pull them up. I know this is not a youth sermon, but there are youth who say, well, I'm just going to date them, and I'm going to convert them to Christ with flirtations. I'm telling you, if you flirt with the devil, the devil is going to get a hold of you. You're not going to get a hold of it. And it's not just true for youth. It's true for us with our friends, who we hang out with, who we talk to, what we do. As a young man, I have to be careful. Some of my friends are not Christians. And I have to be careful how long I hang out with them. It was true for me in the military. I would come home from drill weekend swearing up a storm because that's just what they did. And my mom would say, what are you doing? And I'm be like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, you have to be careful. And when you go into places like this, you need to make sure you're grounded in the Word of God. When you are talking with people, you need to make sure you're grounded in the Word of God because people are deceived. The worst thing that ever happened, not the worst thing, but the one thing that happened that it can be a problem is when the Bible was compiled, they put chapters and verses in there. The problem with chapters and verses is people take a verse out of context. The Bible was not written with chapters and verses. In fact, there's a book that I read that doesn't even have chapters in it. And so it's up to me to figure out where does this author leave off? It's hard. And when we read the Bible, we need to make sure we're reading not just pieces, but large portions. It can be long. It can be daunting, but we need to make sure that when we see someone post a verse, the most famous one, John 3:16, you need to make sure you understand that whole thing in context. And there are people who are going to take any verse, right? They could take a verse from Genesis, a verse from the Epistles, a verse from Revelation, and they have no idea how it was written. They have no idea the language. They have no idea the author, how the author wrote it. All these things, and they take it out of context, and therefore we need to understand the context. If we are to help people understand, if we are to stay on the right path, we have to know the context of what it's being said. The pastors have a job of knowing large portions of Scripture. It's tough. Pastors need to be able to know this, and it's going to take time. But it's not just the pastor's job to know these things. It's our job, right? Is it the pastor's job to go and evangelize to the world? Or is it the believer's job? It's the believer's. Well, how do you evangelize something that you don't know? Truthfully, if you don't know God's word, How can you help someone understand it? And there are unbelievers, atheists, who know more of the word than some Christians do, but they know it in their head, but they don't know it in their heart. But the one way that we know, and to help people, to help us stay on this right path, in order to help people and to help ourselves, is we need to be able to discern. We have to be able to read the word, discern, ask, cry out, and search for it. Searching takes time. It takes a long time to search for something, especially if it's hidden. You have to be able to do the hard work. You have to read the word, stay with the word long enough. You need to, if you don't understand and you're upset, cry, ask. Maybe take a step back and just think, right? All these things. God does these things not because he hates us, not because he doesn't want it. Some people will say, well, God is very limited. God limits everything that we're supposed to do. I say God's not limited. God didn't have to do that for us. God didn't have to give us his commandments to keep us on the right path. He didn't have to give us his word. But he did because he loves us, because he knows that we need it. He doesn't need this word. It's his word. He already knows it. He doesn't need it. We need it. We need to be able to understand God. We need to be able to know how we're supposed to live out this life. We need to know how to be wise. We need to know how to be discerning. We need to know how to read this word in order for us to receive the understanding and to receive the discernment. Discernment isn't this aha moment. Discernment can be hard. And it depends on what we're discerning from. Is it from right or wrong? Normal right or wrong? So like murder or stealing, I mean, that's pretty easy. But there are some times when, you know, we have to make a decision and we just don't know what to do because both could seem like good ideas. And the way we know which way we go is by reading God's word, praying, asking. And so why does God do that? Why does God keep us away from temptations? Or away from sin, away from false teachers, away from people who would rip us away from God? Why does he do that? So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. Seems pretty straightforward. Walk in the way of the good. Keep the paths of righteous. God wants us to stay on the right path, the good path. He doesn't want us to fall away into sin, to be backslidden into sin, and to apostatize away from the faith. He doesn't want us to get into covenants with people we shouldn't be in covenants with. He doesn't want us to fall into speaking false things with false teachers, or to talk with people who are perverting God's word. He wants us to speak right, holy, what's righteous, what's good. But when we're on the path of this life, he wants to keep us on the right path. And this is Solomon's. Solomon wrote this for his son, to stay on the right path. Read God's word. Treasure up my commandments. Right? Store, it's a storehouse. Matthew said it in his gospel. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Right? What are you storing up? Are you storing up envy, deceit, malice, bitterness? Are you storing up righteousness, God's words, what's true, what's holy? Where is our storehouse? Sometimes our storehouse is dusty. Sometimes the storehouse is full of bugs and things that are disgusting. Or sometimes our storehouse needs to have a cleaning, a deep clean. Sometimes we need to clean out our storehouse. And God's word is how we clean that out. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. Now land obviously is referring to, in the covenant, land is very, very important, right? The Jerusalem was a piece of land, right? So in order to remain in their land, in order to remain in it, was to stay on the path of righteousness. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And the Legacy Standard Bible, rooted out means torn away, meaning God will tear you out of his land. If you're not going to keep his words, if you're not going to do what's good, you won't get to inherit the land. People who do that are the ones that are going to be saying on the last day, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? And he's going to say to you, I, truly, truly, I never knew you. Away from me. There are many people who think that what they're doing is right. There are many people who are, we see people doing great things, right? Taking care of the poverty. They raise up good nonprofits. And we go, wow, these people are amazing. And we hold them to a high esteem. And yet, if they have not repented and believed in Jesus Christ by true faith, they will not inherit. They won't. And that's a very sad reality, but that is true. And it's true for us because those people that do that, while they do great things, their heart could be deceived. Their home could be deceived. They could be doing things that are not good. They could say horrible things, do horrible things. And we need to be discerning. Where do we go? What do we do? How do we get to know our Father? How do we stay on this right path in this life? It's tough. We look out in the world. Recently in the news, there was abortion that came on. What do we as Christians do? What stand, what hill are we going to die on? And the way we get to know that, and the way we know that, what is true, what is false, is God's word. And if God's word says it, then we obey it. We cannot obey it perfectly. That's why we need God's grace. That's why we need Jesus. That's why man's wisdom will not remain. Jesus is the root of wisdom. And when we seek for Jesus, we seek for him as we would in his word, we will know. We will be able to discern, not always perfectly, but this process, what's literally a seven-step process, it's ongoing. It's daily. It's every day. That's how we grow with our Father. That's how we grow in a relationship. That's how we keep on the right path. You don't just do it one day and say, well, I'm good. I already know it. I can stay on this path. No. It's every day. And when we see things on the news and politics and things happening, the way we discern of how to do it, who to vote for, what to do, is by reading God's word. Then we will know. Not perfectly. We're not going to be perfect Christians and making always the best decisions. And it's not just a help to us. It's a need. Because without his word, without these scriptures, you would have absolutely no idea what to do. Which is why they needed the commandments. Which is why they needed the law. Which is why they needed these things. And yes, it increased the transgression. It only increased it because they knew it. That's how it increased their transgressions. But just because it increases the transgression, we need God's grace in order to understand this. We need God's grace to keep us on the right path. We need God's grace not just one day, but every day. And there are Christians who are deceived, like this man and like this woman. There are people who are living out these things, and they need to hear the word too, just as much as we do. And there are people right now who are claiming pro-choice. And I'm going to make a stand here in this pulpit saying, I am not pro-choice. I am pro-life. And you can hate me, you can say whatever you want to me, but God's word says it. And as a Christian, we need to take these stands. Because if we don't take a stand, if we don't stand on God's word, then when something else comes, we're going to be blown in the way of every doctrine that comes to us. And the way we know what to do, how to make these decisions, where to go in this life, the choices we need to make, is found in God's word. So I ask you this week, and all the weeks, please open his word. Read the Bible. Ask for understanding. Cry out to God. Cry out for insight. Ask for discernment. Ask what to do. And God will reveal it to you. And God will show you what to do. Amen.